So we had our first ever church picnic 24 hours ago at the Detroit Zoo, the walkathon. Dave talked about that a bit. Partnering with Grace Centers of Hope, what was really cool, one other stat, last year they had around 250 or so people be part of the walkathon, and this year it was around 800. And so the numbers tripled plus, and what the money is being used for is to help homeless children. Grace does a phenomenal job in Pontiac at being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in a very tangible way. And I got some stats on their website. And these stats, I don't even know what to do with them. But I'm so thankful that Grace is doing something about it. There's 86,000 homeless people in our state. 86,000. And the stat that blew me away is one out of every three homeless people is a child. I'll process that one. Average age, 7 years old. And so you have moms and dads, circumstances hit them that they can't control, and they have children. Now, I have a four-year-old. I cannot imagine, Faith, Evelyn, Elizabeth, like, what would you do? But the cool thing is Grace is doing something about that. They're using that money. Just talked to Ruth, the number is still coming in. They're at $67,000 raised, helping homeless children in our state. So it was really cool to be a part of that, to have you guys come out. We decided not just do a church picnic, but do a picnic with a purpose. So we did the walkathon. I think I came in last place, actually, with my group. When we crossed, there's the banner. There's no one there. So, which either I was first or last, but no. I know what the answer was that. But anyway, it was a great time. We're going to be doing a barbecue again later on in the summer, and it's just a way to connect, and we hope you take us up on that next time. So we did the walkathon. I am wiped out, exhausted, but it's amazing what some fresh air will do for you. So for the past few months, we've been working through the Gospel of Matthew one story at a time, and I am proud to announce that we have made it officially to chapter 5 today. We are going at a lightning clip, but it's all good. We are actually, it's interesting today, we are continuing our series in this Gospel, but we're also starting a new series at the same time today, and let me explain what I mean by that. Chapters 5, 6, and 7 of this Gospel contain the most famous teaching of Jesus. He preaches and preaches and preaches. It's what's known as the Sermon on the Mount. And what the Sermon on the Mount does is it paints a picture of what it means for the kingdom of God to come, the kingdom of heaven to invade earth. What it means to live, you're a believer, you're a follower of Jesus Christ, or you're considering what it means to follow Jesus. He gives a sermon saying, this is what it means. This is what it means. This is the upside-down kingdom. So we are, even though we're still in the Gospel, we are naming this series in the Gospel, the Kingdom on Earth. It's going to be called the Kingdom on Earth. This is part one today. We're going to be going through it all summer long, unpacking the teachings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, one story at a time. And I cannot tell you how excited I am that we're in this series. This is one of those, as I'm working on my preaching calendar, I'm counting down June 5th. Can't wait to kick this day off and the kingdom on earth and seeing what God does. Because when you think and if you process, whether you're inside the church or outside the church, some of the most famous teachings of the Bible, you have the Ten Commandments, you have Psalm 23 that said at all the funerals, a love chapter, the Apostle Paul done at weddings, you got the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, and the Sermon on the Mount. It's one of those that teach us. Even if you're not a, quote-unquote, religious person, you understand what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus and what are his teachings. And it's interesting that the Sermon on the Mount is one of those teachings that have influenced people both inside and outside of the Christian faith. For example, Gandhi, he credits the Sermon on the Mount as one of the primary influences on his life. He was not a follower of Jesus, but he read the teachings of Jesus in these chapters, and he credits them in doing what he did to gain independence of India from the empire of the British. And then you have Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who credits the Sermon on the Mount and the nonviolent resistance taught in the Sermon on the Mount as the marching orders that he used to bring equality for blacks in a white America that did not treat them the way that they deserve to be treated. The Sermon on the Mount. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, going through the centuries, teaching us how to live the kingdom on earth. The Sermon on the Mount begins with what we're looking at tonight. It's a series of teachings called the Beatitudes. If you have a study Bible like me, I have the NIV study Bible. The title of the section is the Beatitudes. And that name, I actually didn't know this until I'm doing my sermon prep. Where does the word Beatitudes come from? It's actually come from Latin. So if you have Catholic roots to your faith, and you went and you did the whole Latin Mass thing, you may have already know this, but Beatitudes comes from the word blessed. In Latin, is beatitudo. So again, if you're ever on Alex Trebek for 500, beatitudo, it's Latin, right? But you're going to hear a bunch of phrases, blessed are those, blessed are those, blessed are those. And in the Latin translation of the Bible, it would be beatitudo would be the root word of that. So this section of the Bible is named after that Latin word. And the verses that we're looking at tonight contain a list. Jesus goes through and says, in my kingdom, in the kingdom of God, the kingdom that is invading earth, here are people who are blessed, or blessed is the way we usually say it. Now, when we think of people who are blessed in our culture, in America, we think of people who are rich, who are famous. Those are the blessed ones, the powerful. When people have good things happen to them, they're blessed. The beautiful people, quote unquote. So as I was processing through thinking, if we took a poll in the great country that we live in and said, who are the blessed? Pop culture, who are the blessed? Blessed are LeBron James, right? Blessed is Lady Gaga, right? Blessed are Prince William, Princess Kate. Blessed is Barack Obama. Blessed is Johnny Depp. Blessed is Donald Trump. Blessed is Scotty from American Idol. Even though James Durbin should have been blessed. But that's all I'll say there, okay? But those are the type of people that we think are blessed. And in some ways, they are. In some ways, it would be accurate to say that. You know what? Those folks are blessed. If you rewind 2,000 years and you look at the ancient world, and you ask people living in the time of Jesus, who are the blessed? If you took a poll in what's called the ancient Near East, where the Holy Land is, I am certain that if we could hop in a time machine 2,000 years ago, the same types of people would come up. Those are the blessed ones. Kings and queens, the powerful, the influential. But see, the kingdom that Jesus Christ came to inaugurate is not the kingdom according to this world. It is an upside-down kingdom. So the people that we think are blessed are not the people that God says are blessed. So here is what Jesus says about who are the blessed. I'm going to read Matthew 5, verses 1 through 11, straight through. And picture these verses, think through these verses, who we think are blessed, who the world says are blessed, and now who God in the person of Jesus Christ says are blessed. You will see an upside-down kingdom. Here we go. Starting in verse 1, Matthew 5. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. That's why it's a Sermon on the Mount. He went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then finally, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecute the prophets who were before you. That last beatitude is absolutely upside down. Hey, when you're insulted, Dave, blessed. Rich. When you're persecuted, blessed. When people say all kinds of evil falsely against you, blessed are you. Like, who is this rabbi? Well, in fact, this rabbi is Jesus Christ, Savior of the world. Knows a lot more than we do. Upside down kingdom. See, the kingdom of God coming to earth is an upside down kingdom. So the people that we think are blessed are not the people that God says are blessed. Now, let me take a few of these verses and go a little bit deeper into each of them. And then what I want to do is just apply a little bit to our lives, fast forward 2,000 years later and say, they were blessed back then. Now, who are the blessed today? If Jesus wrote the Beatitudes today, who would he say are the blessed? So here we go. Let's look again at Matthew 5, verse 5. Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, the meek are people who are the shy ones, the easily intimidated, the unassertive. That's what meek means. Now, see, if we were to write that beatitude, Matthew 5:5, and we applied the wisdom of the world, if we applied the principles of the world, the beatitude of Matthew 5:5, if we were writing it, would probably sound something like this. It would probably not say, blessed are the meek, but it would say, cursed. Cursed are the meek, for they will be taken advantage of. And as I say that, you're like, yeah, true. It's true. See, the reality that we live in, the world, right? Jesus came to inaugurate the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, saying that God's will is perfectly being done in heaven right now, not being perfectly done down here on earth. So Jesus comes as the kingdom bringer, to make God's kingdom come, to make God's will be done on earth, down here, as it is in heaven. And we're in this period of the already and the not yet. The kingdom of God is already here in many ways, but it's not yet fully realized. So you know what? The meek, they are, in our reality, oftentimes taken advantage of. Because they're meek, because they're shy, they're easily intimidated, they're not the ones who speak up for themselves. So our beatitude, our version of it, if we were writing the Sermon on the Mount, we would say, cursed are the meek, for they will be taken advantage of. And the reality is they may. They may very well get walked on. If they own land, they very well may get it taken from them. But this is what Jesus says. He is telling the meek, don't lose heart. He is saying, one day you will inherit the earth. All of the rich and the powerful, the ones who abuse you, take advantage of you, all wrongs will be righted one day. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. He's not giving a promise saying, hey, right now, if you follow me, it's all going to be good. We know that. If you're a follower of Jesus today, you know that everything doesn't go perfectly in your life. If you are meek right now, you may be taken advantage of, but one day, if you are meek, Jesus says, you will inherit the earth. And because of that, right now, presently, you are blessed. Verse 7 in the Sermon on the Mount says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, the Greek word there for the idea of having mercy, easy for me to say, is to give help to the wretched, to relieve the miserable. That's what it means. Blessed are the merciful, giving help to the wretched, to relieve the miserable. Jesus is saying, if you are merciful, if you help those in need, you are blessed. According to the world, though, verse 7, Jesus, if he wasn't the author, if we were the author, it would say something like this: blessed are those who look out for number one. Blessed are those who take care of themselves. Blessed are those who help themselves. Because if you don't look out for yourself, who is? The world says. But Jesus says the opposite. He said, blessed are the merciful. Become involved in those whose lives are hurting. The age-old question God asked Cain. Actually, Cain asked God, am I my brother's keeper? It's a classic verse in Scripture right after Cain killed Abel. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, the answer actually to that question is yes, we are. We're going to talk about this a whole lot next week. But the reason why we are blessed is not simply so we can sit back, relax, and enjoy life, but we are blessed to bless. That's what Jesus is saying. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now, the wisdom of the world would say, mocked are the pure in heart, for they are sheltered. This beatitude really speaks to the youth, especially the teenagers. So if you're young here, you're younger. See, Jesus is saying, because you are pure in heart, you are blessed. In a very impure world, you, pure in heart, are going against the trend. You are denying certain pleasures that the world, that MTV says, dive into. You're saying no to the world. You're saying yes to God. Jesus is saying others may not understand you. Others may mock you because you don't go along with the crowd, but you are blessed. One day you will see God. So who cares what people think? Oftentimes, right, the culture of America goes in this direction. That gives every reason. Go on the opposite. Even don't understand. Go on the opposite. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Verse 9 of the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Now, the world would say this, ignorant are the peacemakers. They don't understand that the strongest survive. Blessed are the armies who have the most deadly weapons. But Jesus says, no. The armies aren't blessed. He who lives by the sword will die by it. If you are a peacemaker, you are blessed. He is saying to the peacemakers, because of your efforts, you may very well achieve peace. You may very well change society as we know it, just like Dr. King did. But Jesus is also saying, right, this promise, it goes into the future. He's saying, hey, I'm not guaranteeing that you're going to make it out alive, by the way. You might get equality, you might achieve peace, but you may shed your blood over that peace, just like Dr. King did. But Jesus says, whether you live or die, peacemakers, you are blessed. And he's saying this, it's interesting, he says, for you will be called sons of God. Jesus, the Son of God, is known as what? The Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace, the Son of God. So he said, you peacemakers will be called sons, will be called children of God. Whether or not you make it out alive, you're blessed. That's counter, it's like, wait, no. Blessed is I'm going to live old age, be able to like golf in Florida, you know, for 50 years after I retire. That's blessed. And Jesus says, no, that might be a curse. Blessed are you if you give your life away. Blessed are you if you pour your life out for a cause much greater than yourselves. Jesus says, blessed are you who take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. See, the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom coming to earth one life at a time, it is an upside-down kingdom. See, the people that we think are blessed aren't the people who God thinks are blessed. And this is interesting. I was processing this and trying to figure out, okay, well, that's kind of what Jesus was saying back 2,000 years ago. How do we apply that today? This is a sentence I came up with. When I said that the people that we think are blessed aren't the people that God says are blessed, but the opposite is true as well. The people that we don't think are blessed are the people that God thinks are blessed. Now, here's the truth. The people that we don't think are blessed is often us, me. I don't think I'm blessed. You don't think you're blessed, oftentimes. You might use that language here and there, praise God here and there, but if you think deep down to it, because we compare ourselves, and we compare, I'm blessed, I have a house, but man, they have 500 more square feet. Our kitchen's pretty nice, but man, an extra countertop right there would be great. I'm cursed. Cursed is me, who only has a 1,450 square foot house in Shelby Township. Blessed would be me if I had a 2,500 square foot. But if you're a 2,500 square foot house, cursed is me, because I don't have a 3,500. You get tracking with me? It's kind of silent here. It's like, yeah, my bad. That's me. But it's true. We don't think we're blessed, but nothing can be further from the truth. So here's where the application comes. Here's the so what. I began by teaching you Latin, and I want to make you bilingual in ancient languages today. I'm going to teach you the Greek word for blessed in Greek. And again, to remind you that when the New Testament was originally penned by Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, by Paul, guys like that, it was written in the Greek language, translated into Latin, translated into English. But the original readers of Matthew, when they read the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, it wouldn't say the English word blessed, it would say the word makarios. I want you to say that, makarios. Makarios. That's the word. And I want to share that word with you, not just, you know, hey, well, I can say makarios now. But to help you understand that, we need to go back to the original languages to understand what did that word originally mean when the original audience heard it, when they read it. What did Jesus really mean when he gave this list of who were blessed? And here's a way that it's defined by, I love this commentary, sent the Zondervan Illustrated Bible Backgrounds Commentary, great commentary set. This is how they define the word, makarios, again, blessed. It says makarios, now focus here, makarios is a state of existence in relationship to God in which the person is blessed from God's perspective even when he or she doesn't feel happy or isn't presently experiencing good fortune. Negative feelings, absence of feelings, or adverse conditions cannot take away the blessedness of the one who exists in relationship to God. And I love the way it defines the word blessed because it reframes it. See, in our culture, again, we think to be blessed, well, that's when good things are happening to you. That's when you feel happy or joy-filled, when you feel good inside. And again, there's a truth to that. There's a certain degree. I use that language. I mean, I feel blessed right now. There is an element of truth to that, but when you go back to the original word, it's not what it meant at all. See, makarios, that word, means that we're blessed not because of our circumstances, not because of our status, not because of other people looking up to us or our ability to look down on others, compare in the pecking order, and be the highest chicken in the pen. Say, no, it has nothing to do with that. It all has to do with being in relationship with God and simply how he is pouring out his blessings upon you. And thinking through and reflecting and realizing that you are blessed. So from God's perspective, we all are blessed. No matter what we're going through right now, good or bad, from God's perspective, we're blessed even when we don't feel blessed. Now, with that explanation of mine, I love what the Apostle Paul says here. Challenging scriptures. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, if you keep that up on the screen for a little bit. First thing I want to point out is it says, rejoice always, give thanks in all circumstances. Doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. And it's really important. That little word, if you have your Bible today, circle that word in. Give thanks in all circumstances. What Paul's saying is, hey, you don't need to fake it. Praise Jesus for stage 4 cancer. Hallelujah. Not saying that. But he's saying in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a tragedy, in the midst of a trial, there are things you can be thankful for in that circumstance. Not for it, but in that circumstance. We talked about this actually last week a bit. But Satan, right, the thief, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. So things that steal and kill and destroy are not from God. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. So if something is stealing, killing, destroying, focus your attention on the enemy, on Satan, not on God, but in the midst of that, in the midst of that trial, Paul is saying, hey, we can rejoice still. We can give thanks in all circumstances. Paul is saying, count your blessings. Count your blessings. Be mindful of the ways God has blessed you, even when we don't feel blessed, even when we don't feel like praising God, because feelings can be tricky. We trust them, but we can't fully trust them because we get in a lot of trouble with our feelings at times. So with that in mind, I wanted to give you two practical applications with that verse that Paul wrote. Two applications that we can take from the Sermon on the Mount 2,000 years ago, fast forward to today. Two ways we can count our blessings. The first way is to count your blessings practically. This is some homework for you this week. When we have our time after the sermon and we spend time reflecting and singing and taking communion, things like that, it'd be a time to start this exercise, but don't have it stop when you walk out of here. But to take your program, maybe in your small group this week, maybe tonight, maybe during halftime of the NBA Finals, take out your program and think through, reflect, grab your Bible, pray. How has God blessed me? How am I blessed right now? See, we often don't do that enough because we compare ourselves to those who have more. We might be going through a real tough time right now, a trial. And so we focus, we feel bad about ourselves, and all the energy gets just all twisted in our minds, and it's all inward focused. See, we need to think through, how can we thank God? How can we give thanks in all circumstances, practically? And the tricky thing is most of the ways that we are blessed by God, we completely take for granted. It's just human nature. So I process this, and oftentimes it's kind of cool. People say, hey, well, you preach every Sunday. So when do you get fed, so to speak? Well, I get fed all week long. I'm down in my basement, the dungeon, you know, it's awesome. I got my Bible, I got my computer, I got my commentary sets going. And God just speaks to me. And so one of the things I felt like he was saying is, hey, share some ways you're blessed. I want to model it for you. So you can say, hey, here's some ways maybe that I'm blessed too, things that I take for granted, things that I don't think all that much about. So I get fed all week long as I'm prepping for this, like preaching to myself. It's cool. So here's some ways, I came up with about 10, of ways that I am blessed. And we'll see if your story intersects mine. I am blessed, and I don't mean to be like a drama king here, but I am blessed because I can do this. Watch carefully. Now that's a deep breath. I wasn't just to breathe. I mean, breathing's one thing. Taking a deep breath, that's a gift. And you're like, yeah, Dan, sure. Well, let's fast forward back to my story. About 18 months ago or so, I'm in Troy, Beaumont, way too long, 25 days. Right lung gets compressed beyond belief. Not collapsed, but compressed. Fluid filled the cavity. And I was like a bunny rabbit. Could not breathe anything more. It was like I was breathing faster than my heart was racing. Like, and that was it. Intensive care. 5 days. Take a deep breath. You take that for granted. I am blessed. You are blessed. Not only because you have breath in your lungs, but because you can take a deep breath. I'm blessed because I have three beautiful girls. You know our story. We had infertility struggles for 2.5 years. We got married, wanted to start having a family, and things just didn't work for 2.5 years. Didn't know if we were ever going to have children of our own. And then what was really cool was on Kelly's birthday, she found out she was pregnant with Faith. And the reason why we named Faith Faith is because to remind us God is faithful and to remind us never to lose faith. If you have kids, you're blessed. I am blessed, and Kelly's not in the room right now, so I'm not saying this to get brownie points, but I'm blessed because I'm married to her. She has been planting a church is insane. I was on staff at Kensington for 8 years, and it's a big church, a lot of staff. Whole different ballgame when it's you. Now, thank God for Dave, Alexander, you know, Michelle, Rich, you know, Tony, Nikki. I mean, we have an amazing core team of volunteers. These guys knock it out of the park. Jeff, I mean, they knock it out of the park. But it's like a staff of one. But it's not me flying solo. I have Kelly by my side. She is my partner, and it's awesome. I didn't, like, drag her in this thing, kicking and screaming. Like, no, I don't want to play at church. Okay, you know, I'll submit. You know, no. I am blessed because Kelly said yes. Now, at the same time, it's interesting. June 5th, this day, interesting just how it fell. As I was processing this one, I am blessed because I didn't get married 11 years ago. June 5th of 1999 was a wedding date on my calendar. Had it circled, engaged to a real good girl. And as we started dating, I had a certain level of faith and belief in God. I got introduced to Kensington Church, and my faith took off in a way I couldn't even describe. And I may, as I shared it, I said, you know, God was real to me before, but now he's really real to me. And that happened back in 1998. We're engaged. We're supposed to get married June 5th of 99, one of those dates you just will never forget. Had the DJ booked, the hall booked, the photographer booked. And as I started growing more and more in my faith, and she kind of was happy where she was, I knew, and it was not a good thing at the time, but I did what I knew God had wanted me to do. I broke off the engagement. But I'll never forget June 5th. But I'm blessed that today is not my 11th anniversary. Because I probably wouldn't have made it anyway. We were probably, you know, got divorced 7 years ago. But, right, sometimes you are blessed in ways that at the time feels like you're being cursed. It's true. I am blessed because my mind functions properly so I can speak, so I can think, so I can write sermons. I am blessed that I have eyesight, and right now, you guys, I can't see y'all, that I have money to pay for these things, that glasses exist. Because I could think properly, but if I couldn't see, it'd be like, I'd be having like the screen like this, it wouldn't work all that well. But you're blessed because you can see. You don't think about that. I'm blessed because I have electricity in my home. I'm blessed because I ate food today. I am blessed because I had $2.50 to buy an overpriced bottle of water at the zoo yesterday. Right, we're going, man, $2.50 plus tax, $2.65. What's up with that? Tell it to a person in Ethiopia. I pay $2.50 for a bottle of water? Absolutely. Absolutely. Where do I sign up? We're going, man, rip off. You're blessed if you have access to clean drinking water. And all of a sudden, people are taking drinks. You see that? You're blessed. I'm blessed because my mom and dad are both still around. Most Mondays we get together, we go out to eat. It's awesome that Grandpa and Grandma Kopp are a huge part of Elizabeth and Evelyn and Faith's lives. I'm blessed. I'm blessed because as a male, I have best friends, Steve and Mike, who will do anything for me. I am blessed. I am blessed because I have a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of you praying for me every day. We talk about being a church, not just the church of praise, but being a praying church. I am blessed that so many of you lift me up in prayer, and I need it. See, I am blessed, and you are blessed, even if some of the ways I am blessed on that list, you aren't blessed by. Circumstances in your life that you're like, I wish I could have said number 8 there, Dan, but that's not my life. We're all blessed. So the first application is to, and do this. Grab a journal, grab a piece of paper, something. Grab your program. Sit down and think through ways that you are blessed. Count your blessings very practically. And spend some time just saying, God, thank you. God, thank you for the ways that I am blessed. And I repent for the ways and the times that I don't thank you enough, God. For the things that I take for granted, I am blessed. You are blessed. Blessed are you, congregation. Blessed are you, followers of Jesus Christ. Blessed are you who aren't following Jesus because you have the opportunity today to begin following him. Blessed are you. Whether you're going through a high in life right now or a low in life, you're blessed. So the first one, count your blessings practically. Second one, count your blessings theologically. Count your blessings theologically. Now, this is something I know I do not do this one enough. Now, again, going back to the Greek word, blessed, makarios, it's saying that there are theological realities that are true for anyone in this room who is a follower of Jesus today. No matter what you're going through, no matter if you feel blessed or not, no matter, by the way, if every blessing in your life on the previous list goes away, because some of them will. One by one, they'll get picked off just as life goes on. You have that first list, that practical list. Even if every other blessing on that list goes away, the blessings I'm about to share with you will never go away. So I want to read you a list of theological truths. Again, we often don't think about, and I need to give credit where it's due. Greg Boyd wrote a book called Escaping the Matrix. Now, not only do I love this book because it talks about the best movie of all time, The Matrix. Thank you, whoever clapped. All right, Steph. Great book. And so I took these word for word, and I wanted to give credit where it's due. I want to read through this list. And by the way, this list is on the back of your program, so don't feel like you have to like write down shorthand. He's reading too fast. You just need to sit back. You might want to close your eyes, look at the screen. There's Bible verses related to each one. They're all in your program. These are all truths based on the authority of the Word of God. They are theological truths. They are true regardless of circumstances, truths that will never go away. And we need to realize how we are blessed. So I'm going to read these to you, and I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that these aren't just words, but that they speak to people right where they're at. So close your eyes if you want to. If you want to look at the screen, look at the screen. But I'm going to read through a dozen ways that you are blessed because of your faith in Jesus Christ by the grace of God. These are true of you. You are blessed. Here we go. You are filled with the peace and joy of God. You are God's beloved child. You are completely forgiven, perfectly righteous, and free from condemnation. You are God's glorious temple and are filled with his fullness. You are holy and blameless. You are the recipient of an eternal, infinitely rich inheritance. You are inseparable from God's love and will never be abandoned. You are the beautiful bride of Christ who ravishes the heart of God. You are the one over whom the Lord rejoices, sings, and claps. You are the one for whom the Lord throws a party. You are indwelled by a fearless spirit of love and self-control. And you are more than a conqueror in all things. Can someone say amen to that? Come on! Those are true of you. If you are a follower of Jesus today, those are true of you right now. If you want to begin following Jesus today, those can become true of you. When we have a prayer team at the end, come and pray with us. We'll introduce you to Jesus Christ through a prayer of repenting and turning to him. Those are true. Regardless of the previous list, praise God for having air in your lungs, but you're not going to forever. Praise God for having access to clean drinking water and the need of that. And food and the need of that. But those are going to go away. But that list I just read, they're true forever. And we just kind of go, oh, ho, hum, I'm a follower of Jesus, oh, ho, hum. I really hope LeBron James loses. You know, we focus on the wrong stuff. Now, by the way, I really do hope LeBron James he loses. But even if they win, I am more than a conqueror in all things. You got that? See, every other blessing in your life can go away. But the things that I just read are true forever, based on the authority of the Word of God. So, second application for you. And it was so cool. It was a God moment for me. Just like, he hit me. And I knew what I was going to say. I just didn't know he was going to hit me. But to take that list on the back of your program, look up those scriptures. Look up those verses. Make it from you, second person, to me. Read through that list. Spend time reflecting, journaling, whatever it takes. I am filled with the peace and joy of God. I am God's beloved child. Read through that list. Personalize it. Sit, reflect, remember, believe it. If you don't believe it, ask God to give you the faith to believe it, because it's true. Look up the verses. God's not lying to you. See, whether you're going through a spiritual tsunami right now, a personal tsunami, or you are feeling blessed because things are going well, those are things, they're blessings we need to count. Count your blessings. Jesus, writing the Beatitudes, speaking the Beatitudes 2,000 years later, he would say, blessed are you. Blessed am I. James 1, I think it's verse 17, says, every good and perfect gift comes from your Father of heavenly lights, comes down from heaven. Every good and perfect gift is from above, from your Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. Every good and perfect gift comes down. If something's good going on in your life, you don't believe in God, God's still blessing you. He's that good. He's wooing you. Romans 2:4, I was just reading this book, Conspiracy of Kindness Day, says that, right, the kindness of God leads people to repentance. The kindness of God. He blesses you to draw you into relationship with him. Then your relationship with him, and he blesses you because you're his child. And we go along our days and we think we're not blessed. I go along thinking I'm not blessed because I compare myself to stuff that I don't have. There are circumstances in my life that aren't perfect. And Jesus, 2,000 years, speaking to us saying, you are blessed. If you don't think so, breathe. Have a drink of water. Kiss your kids goodnight. Turn on your electricity. Remember and realize that you're a child of the King. You're blessed. So 2,000 years ago, Jesus goes up on a mountainside. He proclaims that to his followers, that the kingdom of God is coming to earth. And with the inauguration of that kingdom, blessing would be poured out on people. Not blessing people in the ways that they think they ought to be blessed. Sometimes, yes, but sometimes no. Saying that people are blessed that the world says aren't. Upside down kingdom. So Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, the meek, those who are mourning, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, and the peacemakers, those who are insulted, those who are persecuted, those who are falsely accused. And 2,000 years later, Jesus says the same thing. He says, blessed are you. May we live in that reality this week and every day that we still have breath in our lungs. That's my hope and prayer for this church. May we be a church that just shouts out praises and thanks to God. May we be a church that knows that we're blessed in ways we don't even deserve. And next week, we're going to talk about the reason why we're blessed is so we can bless. We are blessed to be a blessing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, first of all, I'd like to thank you for right in the middle of my sermon, ambushing me. So the words that I shared weren't simply words, but I experienced those words as real. I pray that that happened to every single person in this room. That the words I read about how we are blessed theologically, that they don't remain words, but that we have an encounter with that truth. God, I repent right now of all the ways that I do not thank you, the ways that I do not count my blessings. May I be ever mindful, may we be ever mindful that we are blessed. God, may we live in that blessing. May we rejoice in that blessing. May we reflect in that blessing. May you receive the glory for the ways you have blessed us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.